The Trash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com
and GH Graphics and their Junket Apparel line.
And Derby Ink Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Ink. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Central Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris...
Whoops. That's...
Connor Show.
Jumped right in sure on that did. One, buddy.
Yep. Dove right in. 720 HD, brand new system tonight, and so, still got some learning to do. We'll get it figured out. Let's see if this will work. There's, nope, that's not how we do that. Let's try this again. Oh, I know how to fix this. There we go. There's Brian. Got that working. And this should be Ben. Look at that.
We can't see ourselves.
Yeah, we can't watch TV.
Look, I'm getting closer. Okay. I learned about this system an hour and a half ago.
Wow.
That's just how I'm living.
Living
big show.
The wild side.
Big show. Yeah, a little bit. I heard about that. We went out. I had a cyst cut out from underneath my tongue, and apparently anybody could have, with the way that this has gone. I found out that after they had carved this thing out of here at the 4077, it's a MASH reference for all you young kids. It got infected with staph. Okay, so we'd booked in July this Deck the Halls wine tour, which Brandon Tyson and about 9 million other people commented that I attended without wearing my green Boston Red Sox hat. Ergo, it's back. So I go to this thing and basically serve as like co-chauffeur because I'm on antibiotics. I can't really do a whole lot there. And some people noticed that I was out on the thing and proceeded to then message me repeatedly through Facebook that since I'm out having fun and everything, obviously all of the work that needs to be done is complete. And that was a little frustrating. But, you know, it's
this is where I say, hey, you know what? I work I work 4 or 5 jobs 5 days a week, and I get weekends off just like you, and when it gets done, you'll get it.
I mean, I'm not trying to become more exposed in the derby world and pick up more projects and things like that if I plan on screwing people. So if you really believe that was my intentions, you know, I apologize for that. And you know, but come on. On a related note, the December issue of Derby Ink Magazine is coming together quite nicely. It is full. You're going to be able to read about Kenny Rosno and Winter Slam and Dane Clark. And there's all sorts of cool new Mopar products coming out of the Carolinas that are getting ready to roll out. So all you Mopar guys are, you know, complaining that you don't have any specialized parts. There's all sorts of stuff coming there. Huh. It's going to be a really, really full issue. Going to be sort of a team profile on Team JYD.
Nice.
And
that's cool.
And tonight you're going to be hearing from Brent Clemens and Daryl Monroe and Luke Johnson, the winning team from Blizzard Bash, Team Underdogs. We're going to be talking with them a little bit and full Blizzard Bash recap in the magazine as well.
I'm kind of going to throw it out there that I think they got to change their names. I don't think they can be called Team Underdogs anymore.
I questioned that when they decided that they were going to call themselves Team Underdogs. Because I'm like, you guys, you've got the winner of Razorback Rumble. You've got one of the co-winners from Swing Explosion. And you've got the winner of Metal Mayhem on one team with Brent Clemens, who's done really, really well
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, the whole underdogs thing, you know, team black, I get it.
It's deception. Like Pete not having reverse.
Yeah.
It's a whole deception thing.
That was
he
cool.
He swears that it's not, but it's coincidental.
Brandon Tyson messaged me about that. As it was happening, he said he's had transmissions before that basically suck the filter, so you don't have reverse, and then for whatever reason, the pressure releases, and it basically comes back to life, and you get reverse back.
I'm sticking with deception.
I just wish that tire hadn't broke off, because Pete was about to make junk.
Yeah, Pete looked good.
Pete was making junk.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you, if there was stock for Redline Motors, it would have went through the roof after that show.
Yeah, there was a lot of people talking about Pete's motor after that show.
Yes, sir.
All in all, great weekend. A little long.
Carbon monoxide poisoning, I think. Everybody had
Oh, come on.
It was a little long, but, you know, it was... I've talked to...
What do you mean a little long? It's because you spent 12 hours on the camera is what the problem was.
No, I mean 6 days away from home. I was ready to come home. Mm-hmm. But it was a good time. I was definitely very excited to be there, and it definitely lived up to everything I hoped. Chris was, you know, the man as usual, but we're used to that by now.
Yeah. Something.
Somebody laughing.
Brent's laughing at that. We got Brent Clemens joining us on the DerbyParts.com hotline. Brent, man, I appreciate you coming and being part of the show tonight. Congratulations on the win. Has it sunk in yet?
A little bit, yeah. Things are just starting to calm down a little bit. It was a tough week at work, I guess, afterwards to concentrate, but yeah, we got through it.
tough week to concentrate. Why? Because you're trying to come up with all the new ways to spend that money?
Just still pumped up about the Derby. And
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
How sore were you after that?
Oh, what?
How sore were you after Blizzard Bash? Were you real beat up and banged up and bruised, or was
not
it?
Not too bad. I mean, I get sore after every Derby, but yeah, we were sore, but I know I was a little bit, but I guess not overly sore. Yeah.
But every time you looked at that big trophy, it made it feel a little bit better, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The big trophy and the big check.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
So tell us a little bit about the Blizzard Bash experience from your perspective. I mean, you guys pull out there. It's 4-on-4 for an extra $5,000. You got to get through an A-main that certainly wasn't an easy path. You had Pete Hansen and Sangaluski out there on the track with you guys. Take us through what the Blizzard Bash experience was like from your perspective.
I don't know. I've had good experiences at Blizzard Bash, you know, within the last 4 years. Last year I couldn't make it. Because I had to have back surgery, but just had a lot of good experiences out there and met a lot of good people, and it's always tough competition. It's always fun running out there. It's the best of the best, and it's a lot of fun.
You had a great team behind you. How much communication did you guys have with one another when you were putting the cars together and getting ready to come out there? You drove pretty well as a cohesive unit. Was there a lot of strategizing or anything put into that, or did you guys all just kind of go out there with a mindset of we gotta hit whatever's in our way and bang our way to a win?
As far as building the cars, you know, we shared some ideas and talked, not a lot, but I guess enough. As far as driving, I think we're all been driving enough years to, we got a pretty good head on our shoulders when we're on the track, and just try and use that to our advantage and a lot of years of experience. And we had a few plans out there, and as Daryl would say, we're going to go out there and get busy.
Absolutely.
You know, Blizzard Bash is never a sandbagging show, and
no,
it never will be, and especially for the team show. And
it seemed like the pace was faster this year than last year.
Yeah, it could have been. I guess I wasn't there last year,
right.
But I always think the pace is really fast there. Every time I'm down there, I mean, it's just, you know, the track is hard, and it's always fast-paced.
Seemed like it was rough this year, though.
Yeah.
A little bit rougher than usual.
I'd agree with that.
Bouncing around potholes, or it just...
Yeah, just overall, I mean, it's guys were losing a lot of parts this year, front-end parts this year.
Yeah, now I don't think all of them were contacts. It seemed like a lot of them broke as they were, you know, just driving,
sailing across the track.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were doing it. They were trying to
turn too hard and just driving across the track. And I know, I think Eric had that problem, tire grabbed, and he lost the front tire. But it's.
You know that clay is now
usually hard.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing the best they could to try to smooth it off and scrape it off, but I mean, it's just...
No, what I mean is that clay is now sitting in a warehouse. They own that clay. Yeah. That clay is.
So
that,
they bring
that,
it back
that,
every
that
year.
Track is, that track is going. That is the track that they'll be running on in 2015. It'll be the that's same cool. track. Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
Well, they like you can go out and spread it out in the field.
Yeah, there's some stuff on that.
Yeah, there's not much. you're going to own it no matter what. Always all add a little gas to it and everything else.
sort of a big topic has been the walls. As a driver, do you like the fact that you can, instead of beating up your own car, that you can just stick somebody on the wall and then move on? Or would you rather have the walls be a little harder to where you actually have to knock out a competitor's car? From a driver's standpoint, how do you feel?
I guess you use the wall to your advantage. If you can get somebody over it, then, you push them on the wall if that's an opportunity. I actually thought the walls would be a little bit taller this year, or maybe cement blocks. But as far as the dirt berms, I guess either way it doesn't matter. I guess as a driver, when you go out there, you know what you have to deal with. You got the a shorter dirt wall, and if you can push somebody over it, great. If that advances you further. You use it to your advantage, I guess.
I just read a lot of people seem to be upset with the walls. I just personally, like from a spectator spot, advantage, I think it adds to it. Just because, I mean, you got to be driving. You can't fall. It's one more thing you can't fall asleep on. Well, and get parked.
Well, the walls were shorter this year, but they were harder packed.
Yeah.
Which was, you weren't putting people up on them, I guess, maybe as easily, but you were certainly doing more damage when you ran somebody into them.
They were going on them just as easy as this year as they were last year. I mean, it's just, the wall's a wall. I mean, whether it's a cement block, a log, or a dirt berm, I mean, like you said, I mean, you use it to your advantage when you're on the track.
Allentown, Pennsylvania has telephone poles with broken axles. The axle flange at the top, using that to wedge them into place.
And that's the thing. I mean, out there, that's awesome. I mean, everybody, it's you sleep, you're going to end up on the wall. I mean, there was several guys that got just pushed on the wall just enough and got the rear tires off the ground, and there they sat,
Every year that I've been out there, that's always been one of my game plans, is stay away from the wall the best you can and keep moving.
Right.
And, we all talked about that before we even went out there. And they were all pretty smart drivers, so I guess, I don't know, it seemed to play pretty good to our advantage, but you use the wall for your side, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you can get somebody up against it and at least get their back tires off, leave them sit, or, guard them so nobody can come knock them loose.
Exactly.
Team guard. We saw team guard use the wall to their advantage.
49 seconds
in their qualifying heat. And then Jimmy Johnson blocking in Scott Svingen.
That was impressive.
That was... And that ultimately led to the dismissal of three pink camo teams.
Yeah,
I mean, in a matter of seconds, when he blocked Svingen in, and then after that, I think it was Jenny Molman and Keithan were all out after that, and Joe was all by himself, and it was not pretty.
No, it was lights out.
No, that was, and that's the thing. I mean, that's definitely one of the things I think that adds to it. I mean, it's part of the
You have to know how to drive.
Absolutely.
You have to know how to drive.
Well, that you're limited to an indoor arena, what you can do. And I think for the most part, a dirt berm, I mean, the only other thing they could do is put blocks in the dirt berm.
Yeah, and then
it's the dirt's the most sensible thing.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep you away from the hockey walls and away from the stands and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other thing you can do is if you're in a big stadium, do like the monster trucks, put goddamn dumpsters in the freaking walls. Bounce yourself off a 40-yard dumpster.
The thing is, though, I mean, if they put the concrete blocks, I think that they would eventually move.
Yeah, they're gonna move.
Because they're gonna slide on the. They're gonna slide.
Yeah, it's gonna slide.
Then
it's gonna be up against the actual building, and then you're gonna be bouncing concrete off concrete, and that's not gonna be good. So
dirt makes the most sense, and I think they did a hell of a job with the packing. Packing the berms, they were tight for a long time, but I mean, when you start sailing them over and through it,
they're not your standard 4,000-pound cars. I mean, you're looking at 6, 8. You get to the mods or whatever they were, and they're 10, 12, 15, 20,000
pounds. Yeah, what was that figure they threw out there for the Showstopper car? It was like 10,200 pounds or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah, something
that's crazy.
I think the dirt berms are actually probably a pretty good idea for this show, just because of the fact that you got to run the car so many times. You know, I mean, if you're beating a car against concrete, you're going to do a lot more damage. But if you can push some cars over the wall, you know, if you beat them out and then they come back, I mean, they have a little bit nicer car than, I mean, if you were just pounding them against a concrete block. Right. I don't know. It's probably a little bit more advantage for this show, you know, running the cars so many times.
Yeah, definitely with the heat, the way the team brackets, the heat brackets, that's definitely, I mean, it's a benefit for the drivers for sure.
Double stack jersey barriers. Double stack the jersey barriers too deep and then run Cola Track, right? Right on the concrete.
I like the Cola Track. You want to see some hitting? Take that dirt off and put Cola down and let it tackify. Oh. Them cars would be pulling wheelies.
They wouldn't pull wheelies. There wouldn't be multiple rounds because there wouldn't be any left.
No, it'd be junk right now. But that was my idea. I'm sorry.
It was Brian's idea. I'm not gonna be able to rob credit for that. Brent, what's next for Team Underdogs? I don't know if the Underdogs nickname still fits or not.
We can't really use it. You guys are going to have to come up with a new name for next year. Underdogs just doesn't do it.
I like
actually the Underdogs, you know how that name got started? I was just texting Sam back and forth one night, and I was just joking around and says, yeah, we'll probably be the Underdogs at this show, and that's what our team name was. So I took it as that, and we just left it, and we just slipped in, so.
Deception. I like the deception.
all you guys are pretty good builders and drivers. I don't think Underdog fits you, but, I mean, I guess you got to stay with it now. I mean, you won. You got to go back next year as the defending champions as Underdogs. It's, you know.
Yeah. I don't know as far as team name what's going to happen, but we're okay with just coming out and running the show, and all of us love the facility and everything that Sam's did for that derby and the derby world. And
so all four of you are coming back?
We haven't talked about everything for sure yet, but I'm thinking so. But I'm not saying for sure right now. But
So. Well, it should be a different perspective car-wise for next year. I mean, they were talking about some positive changes in their little rules powwow they had before the show after
that
the
was
inspections
neat.
And stuff. And
I forgot all about Sam saying that. And then we sat down to do the show, and I started hearing people talking, and I look, and the arena was dark, and there was Sam with a bunch of guys around him, and Ben went down and listened, and I think that was neat, you know. I mean, if the drivers want some changes and they can agree on them, then, you know, I think it'll help the show.
Yeah. As far as coming back, I know I'm planning on it, and as far as our team, you know, we haven't really talked a real lot since the Derby, a little bit here and there, but just still trying to take it all in and get back home and, just get to work and talk as we go, you know.
Well, you guys definitely went out and earned it. I was very impressed with your run. Tell us about some of the, you know, the thoughts that go through your mind there as you're lined up nose to nose with that Schilling team and the transition award winner was out there. Tell us a little bit more about that. You know, just take us through that feature.
Going into that feature, you know, we thought we had a pretty good chance. And I don't know Matt Schilling and those guys really that well. But our cars we got to put that together pretty nice. And, going out into that feature, we were pretty confident, you know, but you never take anybody lightly, but we knew they were going to be tough, and they had four cars coming in, and I think we just worked at them one at a time, and, you know, just we all drove very well together, and
it was
a lot of fun, and,
you guys were
good. They could have went the other way. If something would have went wrong or one of us would have got stuck on the dirt berm, and, you know, once you're down a guy, it goes the other way real fast at that show because it's so fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed the fact that all four of you guys, you know, were there at the end. I think it's been a long time since that's happened. I don't know if it's ever happened to have all four guys on the team. You know, I think that really, you know, says something for your guys' ability. That's impressive to do that. I mean, to make it all, I mean, through the heat, through the B main on your side of the bracket, and then to make it through that with all four cars still there. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
When was the last time you made $1,250 in 8 minutes?
That's a good hourly rate.
Can't do that pound and nails.
Well, we're going to, before we let you go, we got Daryl Monroe coming up here in just a minute. Brent, wanted to give you an opportunity before we let you go. Is there anybody that you wanted to thank or make a quick mention of before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my wife for supporting me through every derby and this derby. My brother, he built my engine, built my tranny, built my rear end. We do a lot of stuff in our shop, so I'd like to thank him for all that, and everybody that helped me, all my pit crew, anybody that helped me at the derby, helped me in the shop, the Fleck boys, one of my pit guys, David Lord, Ross, Jason Pagel, yeah, I guess the list could go on and on.
I believe it. Well, Brent, man, congratulations. I appreciate it. We're going to get your teammate Daryl on the line. I want to make a quick mention, Eric Blom. He's not one much for talking, but definitely a major player of this team. A great addition for you guys and a valued team member, and I hope you guys all keep your team intact when you guys come back next year.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Brent.
You have a good one, man.
We'll see you next time. You guys, take a quick peek at this. Now I'm going to make sure this works. I don't know how we're going to do. We're going to try it. Take a quick look at this, and we'll be right back with you.
And you thought thank last you. Year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the turn back the clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Drill inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com.
Hey, Daryl, can I put you in? Thanks.
Yeah.
We're live.
Live at 5.
30.
Well, I was trying to get Daryl in there. Whoops. That's why didn't that come back? Let's do this. Cut. There. Hey, look at that.
There's Chris Marquardt.
It's almost like we knew what we were doing. So I guess it's not as easy to run the system and do the phones, which is cool. But hey, what are you going to do?
Chris, and I'm sure in a matter of time you'll be able to do it all.
I'll be able to do this in my sleep. This will be like nothing.
If you slept.
That was a good Bash for Cash. Quick highlight reel, a little bit of Bash for Cash coming up next year. We're going to be there. And a little bit later on, we'll show you some stuff about the Keystone Nationals. We still, at the end of the show, we need to get into the Winter Slam program that Randy Maslowski is putting together. He won the Stock Compact show. But ahead of that, we've got Daryl Monroe with Team Underdogs. Daryl, man, congratulations on the win. Thanks for joining us tonight, and welcome back to the Crash Course.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet. But how about from your perspective, man? What was it like to come away with a win in that show?
That was pretty nice, man. A lot of good teams there. I'm just kind of excited to see how it was down at the. I've been told a lot about the Blizzard Bash and stuff, but Sam Williams got a good, real good program down there, man. It's real good. I'm just glad we was able to do what we did.
So, what was tougher to win? Metal Mayhem, where you're out there for, what, an hour and a half, or Blizzard Bash, where I think in terms of your two features, you're out there for a total of maybe 15 minutes.
Different driving, man. you just got to change everything totally different from a team show to Metal Mayhem when you're out driving by yourself. You just got to get busy and get busy quick.
Get busy. We heard that was part of your plan was to go out there and get busy.
That's what I told my teammates. I said, you can't, that group, young guys, man, coming in, they've been running 5 or 6 years together. They still had some nice cars, and that's what I told my team. I said, we got to get busy and get busy quick. I said, you just can't ever doubt, you know, young guys like that coming in, and, you know, they had made it out of their feature. And, you know, there were some good teams in that feature they made it out of, and the two young guys that made it out, they were driving the wheels off those Vicks. So, I mean, you got to hand it out to them, you know. We just did what we had to do, and luckily we was able to do what we accomplished.
Now, from a driver's standpoint, what type of derby do you personally prefer? Do you like, you know, something like a Mayhem where you go out and you can be more calculating, or do you like the Bash where you just hold it on the floor and make junk?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've run hard up here too, but you know, it's kind of like Mayhem. It's kind of more to, you know, ease. I mean, you've got a lot more drivers out, but you know, I don't know. It was different for me because that was the first team show I'd ever run. So, you know, would I go back? Yeah, I probably would. You know, I mean, it was different. I liked it. But, you know, it's, you know, running Mayhem and big shows like that, I would rather, you know, do that than a team show. You know, it's just my preference. So, as far as what Sam Williams has got going out there in Kansas, I mean, you got to give him hands down. I mean, he's got a heck of a promotion and all that going on out there and a good facility for all the drivers, you know.
Now, this has got to be, I'm sure Chris can tell me for sure, but this is the first time that the same person has won Blizzard Bash and Metal Mayhem in the same derby year.
Yeah, as far as I know.
Just say luck.
Yeah. You know what? I've heard that a lot, but it still takes a guy behind the steering wheel to make the right choices. So
yep.
That's pretty impressive, man. Congratulations on that. That's
also
awesome.
It's also the first time that you've got the Spring Explosion, Razorback, and Metal Mayhem winner on the same team to win at Blizzard Bash. And that's a pretty big accomplishment. To get those minds on the same team, you really, you know, again, underdog name is somewhat misrepresented, because to get all those minds on one team, with Brent as the team captain, who's got so much driving experience with the Blizzard Bash program, you really are hard pressed to put chips against that combination
of
four.
That's a great team,
man. That's the best of the best. I mean, that's what that show brings.
Yep,
the best of the best all over the country, and it's. That's why it's such a hell of a show.
You've got E2, Bob Meyer, Lance Pritchett. Those guys won last year. Year before that, David Gockel's team won with the black and white. And then year before that, Team Guard won. I mean, those are names that are regulars in the main bracket. And for these guys to come in and for example, with Daryl running his first team show, it's a feather in the cap. I mean, it's something that you really, really should be proud of.
Absolutely.
You definitely got to hit it and get it out there.
Yeah, there's no waiting on that one.
So what was it like pulling out there on the track when it was 4-on-4? Five grand sitting in the balance, and it's head-to-head, four cars on four cars for it.
Well, I feel a whole lot better. The first round was okay. The second round, you had three other groups of teams out there. I know Peter Hansen and Ryan and them. I knew they had some bad rides. But, you know, you had three other sets of teams out there. You had to do what you had to do. And, you know, we all just kind of worked together at the end. And then the final round, 4-on-4, it's just like, you know, you kind of just say one guy against one guy. That's the way I looked at it. And, you know, it all worked. Like I said, it all just worked out in our favor. The heads up in the middle of the track, you know, a few of them, my guys on my team, or on Brent's team, or our team, whatever, they was a little leery being heads up, being heavier cars, and we was in all Vicks. But, you know, it all worked out, man. I don't know what to say.
How rewarding is it as a team to have all four cars still running, moving, under their own power at the conclusion of that?
I mean, I just got to thank guards. I mean, I run a lot of his stuff. I run a lot of quality stuff, and Ryan, Nerich, Slap, you know, Sliders, and shifters. You know, I had one of his new shifters in. I tried it at Mayhem, and I mean, it's just trial and error. But Brian, I don't know what he's done for the sport. It's amazing, man. Without the parts that guy puts out for all of us, you know, we would still be back tearing a lot of stuff up. And you know, then you got Ryan Sawinski's training protector. I got it. I had his very first training protector he put out 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it all goes down to the people who put the parts together, and luckily I'm able to buy the parts. And you know, without their parts, man, I mean, the car would be the car, but I mean, with their parts, it just makes it a heck of a lot easier, and you know, everything flows a whole lot better. But it was nice to see all four of us at the end still running. It was great.
Yeah. Our condolences to Ryan Songolowski. Ryan had a rough weekend. Upon his return home, he found out that he had lost a member of his family. This is on top of blowing up the motor in the truck that pulled his derby car that had a blown up motor.
Right, right, yeah, wow. Exactly. He told me about all that. So yeah, it was a rough weekend for him, definitely. And, I mean, it was actually a rough weekend for the whole team, you know, how all the tech went and all that. So, you know, it derby like it, I don't know, man. It's you're so far away, and you take we all take our chance when we get there, whether we got to cut this, cut that, you know, and Sam and them says one shot only. So me driving 10.5 hours down there, I had myself question myself 2 or 3 times about different things that I did to my car, and you know, it just you know, it is what it is. And luckily, I mean, I did 8.5 hours worth of work and cutting before I could go back in. The only thing with the show that I see would be wrong is the temperatures we had out there Thursday when we worked. Sam only wants to let one car. Once one car gets in, then you all can go into the heated area. That's the only thing that I would probably say to Sam is, you know, once we pay our fee, it'd be nice if we could have been in that heated building and then let us start working on our cars, you know, and so on. But, you know, other than that, man, I mean, the program he's got is phenomenal. I mean, I can't say nothing bad, you know.
I don't think they could let you into that heated building yet because the leather couches weren't in place. I think that's correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's Josh's leather couches.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I got confused.
And that's the thing. I mean, you guys, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when guys are building and coming to these shows, you push the gray areas, you exploit the gray areas, and you're willingly doing that. And the general, what word am I looking for? Basically, everybody is accepting when they do that. They're accepting the fact that they are also going to be willing to, if they're asked to fix it, they need to fix it.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Use the sword thing, but I like the willing. If you're going to cheat the shit out of your car or overbuild your car, then be willing to fix it. And that is
that's what you meant.
That's the what I'm saying is that's the general error. Like Daryl said, it's he knew he was taking a chance, but you know what? If he had to fix it, he fixed it to run.
Absolutely.
You said 8.5 hours of cutting.
Well, it wasn't just cutting. I just had to remove some stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Fix them.
I had quite a bit. I mean, it was to the, you know, just altering the trunk, need to be moved 2 inches. Just stuff more than anything. Core support spacers. I had them all the way up through the front of the core support. I had to cut the top out and just leave the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, mine was just mainly crazy stuff. But, you know, it's, like I said, I mean, I did what they asked. So, you know, it is what it is. But that was only downfall of the whole thing, I thought, was being out with the temperatures we had. I mean, there's a lot of cars had motors froze up and everything where they didn't get all the water out.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. That's what we were talking about that on the air was, you know, if it was all water, it would have just been steam. But we were dealing with boiling ethylene glycol, and that's a bit thicker smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Now, not to change the subject, but going back to Metal Mayhem as a defending champion, What do you think of the announcement Tori made about that being a stock build this year? I mean, I know the rules aren't out, but I mean, do you like the idea of it going back to a more stock derby, or how do you feel?
You know, it's. Am I happy? I mean, it is what it is. You got a driver. You're going to see a lot of old drivers come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if people out in the derby world think it's been a bag fest over the years, can you imagine what it's going to be now?
Absolutely.
Can we get that quote in the magazine?
Gerald, I absolutely agree with you because I was out there years and years and years ago, and I went out there for several years, and I watched it progress from fuel capacity. They're running out of gas, and then they gave more fuel capacity, and they're running out of gas, and then next thing you know, they're giving them a pit stop, and it's like, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it'll be, they thought it was a bag fest before. Holy shit.
There's
but you gotta look. You're looking at $20,000 to win.
Right.
I mean.
Hey, I bagged my nuts off to win $20,000. I mean, Jesus, that's crazy. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth. You don't feel bad about giving $2,000 for a wagon or something like that, or a sedan, whatever you want to take. I mean, it's going to be. I'd say his numbers of cars, they're going to go out of the world. I think he'll have a good show. My main thing is with all these big shows, it would be nice if they could get close, all of them on the same rules. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Because you go out of one, you go out of Blizzard Bash by their rules. Then if you go to Arkansas for Tories, and you got a different set of rules, then you go to Bash, you got a different set of rules, and they just all blend in together. By the time you're trying to build all these cars, and it just gets crazy. If they could get on one set of rules, all of them, it would be awesome, for everybody. But everybody's got their different rules, and it just makes it rough on all the builds you're trying to build to make their shows.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, but I'd say Tori's going to have a good show, and Sam Williams, I heard that, I just heard through the grapevine, he was going to increase his pay up next year for the team show. Now, whether that's anything true to that, I don't know, that's what I'd heard.
I think that'd be the smartest thing he ever did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got a car that, you could win a $10,000 show, which it wasn't about the money to a certain extent, but get in the middle of building this car, the most you could win was, we won $2,250 a piece,
Right.
I
had that in fuel and hotel bills coming down, so.
Yeah.
No kidding.
But, it is what it is. I mean, it's a sport. You either like it or you hate it, and, we all choose to do what we like to do in life, and,
There's definitely
part of the
middle
trip, we had a good time, whether we'd won or not. I had a blast. I mean, the show was awesome.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Anybody that you want to make mention of here before we let you go?
Yeah, I just want to thank Jeremy Gard. I want to thank Ryan Swinski. I want to thank Brian and Jason and them for slider shafts, Joker for all the ball joints and all that good stuff. And I just want to thank all the people, Sam Williams, for putting the show on, and for y'all, the way y'all broadcast the derbies and trying to get the derbies up the way y'all do. I appreciate all y'all do for all of us drivers.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're trying to make you guys more, get you guys more recognition. Certainly that's something that I think is lacking in the sport, man. And it's something that that's been the goal of everything since we started day one with the podcast, was just getting some of these national caliber drivers a little bit more exposure, and get them to be more common household names, and get some of these regional drivers pushed up on that national level as well.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know there's a bunch of other drivers out there does too. And like I said, keep doing what y'all doing, and hopefully, sport keep growing as the years go, and keep getting better.
That'd be fine for fine.
That'd
for
be
me.
Cool.
Yep, that'd be good. Done. Sign me up. Daryl, man, I appreciate it. Congratulations again on the win, man.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
You bet. We'll see you later.
Have a good one, man.
All right, bye bye.
There goes Daryl Monroe, one of the members of Team Underdogs. Give us a quick minute. We will get Luke Johnson on the line momentarily. But first, you should probably check out some information about the Keystone Nationals.
Bo Lockwood Motorsports is primed for a huge 2015 season. Having expanded to include four massive shows, Bo Lockwood and his team look to change the face of demolition derby in western Pennsylvania. Their schedule opens May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. It will include one of the richest stock shows around, paying $5,000 to win and $400 to start. The card includes full payback lawnmowers and separate $500 to win truck and compact one-and-done events. Attention then turns to the all-new Keystone Nationals, now being hosted as a standalone event June 27th at the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. The limited Well Division winner will pocket $10,000, and every feature starter is guaranteed $400. A 1,000-win stock event will be joined by a 1,000-win compact feature and full payback lawnmowers and the debut of the Power Wheel. The focus then goes back to Brookville, July 18th, for the 3,000-win Jefferson County Championships in Brookville, Pennsylvania, and the season concludes July 25th with a return to the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. All green flags drop at 6 p.m., and Bo Lockwood has more announcements to come, so stay tuned to Bo Lockwood and Bo Lockwood Motorsports on Facebook.
That one worked really well. I think we did okay with that one.
We're still on a blue screen.
Yeah, we still got blue screen.
Yep. Luke Johnson's on the line. Do you want to sound like Joker's in front of Luke Johnson?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
He's here to sound worse.
I don't know what you're talking about. Luke! You there?
I'm here.
I'd like to apologize for my colleagues.
That's all right.
I don't know. I don't
Luke,
know
what's going on, buddy?
I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, you got to apologize for me.
Man, congratulations on the win. What's it mean to you to come home from Blizzard Bash with the big trophy, the big checks?
Oh, it was a good time. A long weekend. Great time. Great team. You know, I got to talk to a lot of good people. You know, that's why I love the sport. You don't see these people on an everyday basis, and you know, it's just good to see these people.
Good to see the people. I mean, if you walked out of there with a win in one of the B mains, would it be as good to see everybody?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. You know, oh. I've never ran Sam's show before. You know, and I didn't know what to expect. Building the car. I mean, I was calling Jesse every other day, and it got to the point where he's like, "Yes, Luke. You know, what do you need?" Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page. You know,
mm-hmm. You gotta do what you gotta do.
How important was it to stay out of that gray area? Coming as far as you were.
I mean, because it was like, you know, you would do something, and then you talk to, you know, maybe Brent or Eric or Daryl, or and someone's like, well, I missed the boat on that one, so start over, you know. Like, then they would hear something, and then it's just like, you know, well, back to the drawing board, you know.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, to come away with a win at that show with all four cars still running at the end of the night, that's got to feel special, given what you had to put that equipment through.
Yeah, that was a good feeling, you know, just look over it. And I know at one point in time, I felt bad. I seen Eric sitting down there, sitting on his tire. I'm like, man, how long were you sitting there? And Eric said, I wasn't sitting there long, so I got him off right away. I was just, you know, when you run a team show, you got to look out for everybody, you know, and it's just, mm-hmm. It's a lot of pressure.
So you ran the gamut from all range of emotions through the course of that weekend. This season has had plenty of ups and downs for you guys. What's it mean for you in terms of Luke Johnson's season to finish with this feather in the cap? I mean, you have the challenges that they're well documented. We don't need to rehash everything that went on at Razorback Rumble. You turn around and come away with a win there. There's a little bit of the scrutiny and fallout that happens on the way home from there. Ultimately, the ups and downs lead you to a championship in your first trip at Blizzard Bash.
It feels great. I mean, you know, start the season like we did, and then finish the season like we did. You know, mm-hmm.
That's more than
a person asked for. Really,
I get that part, but I mean, is there any type of redemption that comes with this win?
I don't know. You know, I seem to try to be pretty humble. You know, I mean, it feels great to win like this. You know, and you know, it's. On to the next show, really.
Dude, flat out exclamation point, bad ass team. Point blank. That I won't be humble for you. That was just badass the way you guys did that. I mean, that just point blank. It was awesome. Awesome.
I mean, look, we had a really good team. Like, yeah. All the years of experience we've had together, you know, you add all that up and you add all of our, you know, feature wins, whether it's a big show win or a mm-hmm. county fair win or it was, you know, you won a show, there's five cars there. I mean, it's all that experience added up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
You can't discredit any of that stuff. And we talked a little bit about the change of pace for with Daryl here a minute ago. You were out there for an hour and 32 minutes, or was it an hour 45? It Razorback. You had the stopwatch on it.
Yeah, it was over an hour and a half.
Over an hour and a half, yeah. And then you turn around and your A main time combined was probably around 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How's that mess with your head?
It messes with you. I mean, you gotta keep moving.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we were in a team show type situation a couple years back in Jim Falls, Wisconsin, with the Schillings and Jason Brodzinski was all on one team. We ended up facing the Johnsons and you know, Johnson's wrecking crew, and they had five guys, and you know, they drive really hard, and that was a game changer too, because it was wide open the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. To be on the gas like that, you know, anything can go wrong, you know, versus like Daryl had said, you know, you get in like a mayhem type situation or a Razorback or a bigger show and you're kind of, you know, you got some buddies out there, but yeah, you got to watch out for yourself. And it's like, mm-hmm. You know, you just want to, you know, try to make your equipment last till the end.
Right.
That's, you do have to make your equipment last to the end. And at that pace, do you think about that at all? I mean, especially we saw the track sort of play into it a little bit with some of the rough surface. You hook a turn one direction or another, it can affect the tire. We saw a lot of spindles break just as guys were hauling the mail across the track, things along those lines. Is that playing to your mind at all? Do you think about that?
Definitely. I mean, I'm constantly staring through the firewall, looking at my front tires, making mm-hmm. sure they're still on, that the wheels aren't leaning in and stuff like that. I mean, you're constantly, you may not think you have enough time, but I always caught myself always looking through that firewall, checking out them front wheels.
Yeah, it seemed like the hub discrepancy came into play big time out there. I mean, seriously, I mean, a lot of cars had to change the front hubs and had to change front end parts. The front wheels were laying on the ground.
Right, yep.
You know
a lot of people, some guys run front brakes, and some guys run them special rotors. And
Right.
Well, I've never had any luck with front brakes. Mm-hmm. I just run what I run.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Just go out there and do it.
You don't fix what ain't broke. You know?
Absolutely.
Don't fix what ain't broke. But.
So are we going to see you back at Blizzard Bash next year?
We'll have to talk to the guys and see what's going on, you know.
We gotta come back.
That wasn't the resounding yes I was hoping for.
You gotta come back and defend the title.
I listened to Brent a little bit and listened to Daryl a little bit, and you know, Eric.
Did we say anything wrong?
At work or something? But
yeah, Eric was.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody guessing. I guess
we tried to get Eric on the show before, and Eric, this really isn't up Eric's alley. He doesn't really go for this kind of stuff, and I don't want to pressure the guy. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to pressure the guy. If he wants to do it, great. Love to have him. If he doesn't want to, that's okay too. I mean, we're not here to badmouth the guy.
I'm telling you, it's a deception thing.
Bobby Whitaker's the same way. I think three out of the four of us asked him over the weekend if he wanted to. Nobody wants to hear anything. Same with Eric. We'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, but the thing
love
is, to hear Brian, from guys. Brian, I told you though, because you'd never talked to Bobby before. When I told you how the conversation with Bobby was going to go, I was right.
No, he was way more talkative than me.
Okay. Sorry. Right. So he was way more talkative than. All right, fair enough.
You know, there again, I got a little bit of Bobby Whitaker drive. He hit a wheel down again, and he is the one-man gang. I said that before.
Yeah, he was.
With three wheels sometimes, and most people could drive with four.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
That's for sure. Talk about matching up with Schilling again. I mean, you guys saw him at Jim Falls there a couple years ago. Now you're on the track with him one more time. Do you have a little bit of a familiarity with what you might see, or has it been so far removed that it's just wide open?
Oh, I mean, that Matt Schilling versus it was Jason and Travis Schilling.
Oh, my mistake. Okay.
That's all right.
Those other guys.
Yeah.
They do okay for themselves up that part of the country, though.
Yes, they do.
I think Drive for Five. That those guys they went first and second or first and third in this year. Those guys did very, very well this summer. Just like most of your team. Who do you need to make mention of? I mean, I know there's a lot of people that helped get that team there, and you had a lot of work to do through the course of the weekend in less than complimentary weather.
You know, let's just face it. None of these cars would be on the track if it wasn't for like Brian Arrett's. You know, bells, sliders, shifters, you know, stuff like that. I mean, my motor guy, I'm still waiting on that motor from last time I talked to you guys.
That's right.
At the end of the year. So, you know, my family, they let me do this and late hours in the shop and stuff. You know, it's just.
Lovely Liz.
The pit crew we had there this weekend, we took a big picture. I think I counted like, 18 people just.
Wow.
Between everybody that worked it. You know, Jason Pago and Tyler Matthews and Corey Hathaway and the famous Cody Books. I mean, everybody had their hands in it. Troy Soden. I mean, it was just a lot of people, and a lot of hard work.
And the guy that told you your training was broke after you told him not to.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was sick to my stomach. I believe it was after, maybe that shot I took head-on from Hanson. Yep. What a beautiful car, tough car he had. I took that one head-on shot. Or it could have been when I was riding on his trunk and fell down. I mean, I had a training leak after that A-Main. I told my buddy Corey, don't tell me where my tranny's leaking. What's he do? Where it's leaking.
Right.
So I got it was cracked, actually, behind the bell. And I said, don't let any teammates know. Don't let anybody know about it. Let's just go out there and hope it makes it to the end. And it did. So,
you know what? Sometimes luck plays a big part. I mean, you just can't, you know, if it's good luck or bad luck, I mean, it just plays such a good part. I mean, it's, you know, it's something you can't control.
No, there's nothing wrong with luck.
No, there's not a thing. Now, I asked one of your other teammates, what do you think about the walls? Do you like having the wall to use as an advantage, or would you rather have it where they're like, say, for instance, concrete blocks, and you have to do more actual battling to put the other team out? There's been a lot of talk on the internet about that. I didn't know as a driver what you preferred or what you liked.
I don't like any walls. Get stuck on them all the time. I mean, you know, like Brent said, the concrete blocks, they're hard to eat up a car pretty easy. The dirt berm, you know, if you can use it to your advantage and stay in the middle and push somebody, you know, like the guard team did, get them stuck right away, I mean, that's great. I mean, it's kind of a 50-50 deal, you know.
I think it don't matter what wall. I mean, I've watched. Don't matter what walls there.
Yeah,
concrete blocks. They're concrete blocks at some of them shows, and they send them up over them like the Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, they're going.
Oh, you're right.
So I mean,
I was just wondering this, you know, from the drivers. I mean, I think it adds to it. I really do. I think you have to be on your toes and be more of a driver.
I like rubber loader tires buried in the ground.
Yeah, that was neat.
That was
that
cool.
Pushes you right back in the arena. You don't go very far.
I think that's the next best thing to dirt, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
somehow neat. I get hung on that too.
What the heck? In terms of the transmission, you were talking about the luck, Luke.
Yep.
Is it one of those things where it didn't even start to slip until you went to put it on the trailer? Or was it
not? I don't know, but I guess we drove it on the trailer and we drove it off the trailer when we got home, and I just parked it. I just walk around it in my shop, look at it, going, oh, I gotta tear this thing apart now. You
know? That's where the lovely ingenuity of the tranny braces come into play. I mean,
absolutely.
In a blizzard bash, pace it meant you had another 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
But no, just think about it. If you didn't have a tranny brace on it, what would have happened? It would have broke right in half.
It would have broke right in half. You know?
True. So, I mean,
Sam's got a good set of rules out there. Yep. I mean, them are some hard, hard cars. Walking around that day, I'm thinking, man, I'm way underbuilt. And, you know, I might have mentioned it to Jesse. I said, I didn't realize I could do half this. And he goes, ain't nobody got a stick yet. So, ingenuity, and everybody cut, and I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't got a problem with cutting cars apart if everyone's got a cut.
Exactly.
Right. Yep.
Very true.
Consistency.
Very true. Yep. Consistency is the key.
Consistency is the key.
Mm-hmm.
When you're mentioning your team, anybody else that you want to mention? I heard her in the background.
Hint. Elizabeth?
There we go.
I want to talk. I get so much support from my family, and like I said, I think my engine builder, the whole pit crew we have there, you know, Merritt's parts, Joker's parts. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing.
How many Joker parts do you have on your car?
I tell you what, I'm just not lost at words, I guess.
I understand, man. Congratulations.
It's been a long season.
Yeah. Yes, it has, and the new season is right around the corner. I mean, we're only a little bit of ways away from Winter Slam.
I know it.
Are you going?
I might go watch.
All right, we'll find you there.
Absolutely, find us. We'll be in the heated beer tent.
That's why I would find you guys. You bet.
Absolutely.
just show your pass. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Luke, man, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
See you, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
You bet. Bye.
There goes Luke Johnson.
I went out on a limb. I'm assuming that there's going to be a heated beer tent again.
Not this year.
I hope there is.
Nope, we got to set up. We got to set everything up right under the main gazebo, because we got to do the announcing and stuff too. So
we better have a team meeting about this.
We going to Walmart, buying a tarp. We're stealing the
salamander.
We're piping the salamander hose from the tent over to there.
You know, honestly, like when we were talking to Randy when we were at Blizzard Bash, I didn't think it was bad out Saturday until the sun went down. Once the sun went down, I got cold personally.
I don't think we're going to be out there as long this year either. I don't think we're going to be outdoors as long this year either. Napa Winter Slam, Garden City, Blue Earth County Fairgrounds is going to be the home of it February 7th. The date, $1,500 to win for the Weld class. Kenny Rosno got his registration in under the wire, so we will be seeing Kenny and his Blizzaks again next year. It's 1,000 to win for the rest of the divisions, which would be the compacts, the chain and go, and
the trucks.
And the trucks aren't what we saw before.
Light build, yes.
Light build. So they got there's something like 20 of them signed up.
Yeah.
And it's gonna go fast.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, everybody up there knows where the gas pedal is.
Yeah, because the trucks is what took all the time last year. Because there's like dump trucks out there.
It was, yep. Yeah, it was 45 minutes with those seven trucks, and they finally called it. And Brent Nelson, not taking anything away from that division either. Brent Nelson, he put on a show.
No, that's a hammer, and that's a summer division.
Oh yeah,
that's
where you can get some bite.
That's a summer dry track division, and not wintertime. You get a little slick track, and there's
that track was if that track was dry and soft, they
would have awesome.
Flipped three of them over.
Oh, yeah, I'd go.
I think it would have been done in 15 minutes or less.
But I mean, we're up there. Winter Slam. They jump on Facebook. They've got their own community. There's all the rules and information is up there. You'll be seeing more about them and more of the details here on the Crash Course. We'll have some footage, some highlight reels and stuff from what we saw last year. We're doing the video again. We're going out there with a podcast again. We're going to do a pre-race show, post-race show in the DVD. Josh and I are going to be splitting the booth with a play-by-play color commentary, which is going to be a lot of fun. Still trying to determine if everybody's going to go. I'm hoping everybody goes. Looking at you, Ben, over there on the couch.
I can't look at myself, so.
Anybody that's, within a couple-hour drive, that show is well worth it. I mean, there was action from... from the compacts
The first green flag was thrown, and within 3 minutes, there was a compact
airborne
out of the park and head toward the beer tent.
Yeah, he thought he's in the General League. He was going.
That was awesome.
And he wanted to come back over the same way he went out.
Yeah, and Randy's crew said, "No, we're all done with that." And that was awesome. I mean, the guy that won heavy hitter in that, was it a Honda Accord that I think they stopped once the rear axle was hitting him in the back of his helmet.
Yeah, I forgot about
cages
that.
Cages flying out of cars.
Remember awesome. During the red flag where the guy tugged the rest of his dashboard out and handed it
out the window?
That was bad.
You might need this.
And I have my fingers crossed that there's a Zacharias Thunderbird there again.
I talked to Darren Agard.
Well, Colton will probably have a Thunderbird there again.
Yeah, I would guess that's probably true. I talked to Darren.
Zacharias drove a little bit different than Colton did.
I'm here to tell Colton. Yeah, it might have drove different, but Colton's car was,
absolutely
was built to the balls, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I like how this episode Ben has made almost as many references to the General Lee as he gets cursed.
Are you keeping track over there?
Interesting statistic. Yeah, I've had to turn the sheet three times.
She got a tally card.
But I talked to Darren Agard from the Wadena Grand Slam, and he said he was up near the neck of the woods that Brian just referenced, and there was some new things that have cropped up out of the weeds. So I don't know if they're growing them on trees or how it's coming together, but there's some interesting things that are popping out of the woods.
I just hope A, he's there, and B, he drives away to last year because that was awesome to watch.
I don't think either one of those are questions.
I'm just hoping that's
Well, Randy, congratulations again to him. He with no steering came away with a win.
I didn't get
the
a chance to
division.
See him after
and
the feature either.
Early.
I mean, we were talking like three cars down out of that, and he had no steering, and he still found a way to win that. He paired a very very nice compliment to us, and it was very flattering to hear. But Winter Slam, as of not Saturday past, but Saturday at Blizzard Bash, the field was already over 100 cars. And more than half of them were new to Blizzard Bash, mm-hmm. To Winter Slam. They'd never run there before. So they've got a field over 100 cars already. The chain class, I believe, was full. The compacts were just about full. There was only a couple spots left in trucks, and the weld class was down to the last half a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's definitely part in
parcel?
Part to credit, full credit. I don't remember how he worded it, but he definitely said that we played a role in that. And that was really kind to hear. That
absolutely.
Was nice of him.
That's great to hear.
I really think Goodyear should have a sale on tires
Blizzax.
That week.
Absolutely.
I really do.
I've been talking with Jeremy Ertman a lot about some different ideas and things and ways to change up that show and some stuff. And he goes, really, everything you told me, we've already tried and we haven't got anybody on board. But you got to keep pounding on those doors, Jeremy. Eventually, you're going to make a break, and it's all going to be just smooth sailing from there. It's going to come around. Napa.
That's awesome.
Napa's a big player there at the regional level, which is cool because mm-hmm. it's so hard for derbies to get backing from any of the parts stores, and usually it's only on a local level. They got the regional guys involved. They tried to go higher up, and it didn't pan out this year, but they got to keep pounding because it's a great show.
Absolutely.
It's worth the flight from New York to go out there. Oh, yeah. Just bundle up and enjoy the day, and the after party with the band and everything. It was an experience like no other. I'm excited to go back. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Hopefully the Walter will be there again.
What's that? What'd you say?
I said, yeah, I went. Everybody picked on me. The bouncer picks on me. Everything else. He couldn't get out of his own way.
It was a good time.
Ben thought it was because he was the smallest guy at the bar, and it's not accurate. I was actually the smallest guy there. It's just the thing is everybody knew that they weren't going to get a fight out of me. They're going to say, do you want to fight? They're going to fold me into a pretzel, and that would have been it. Ben actually would have put up a battle.
Hands, it was a good
hands,
time.
Hands this soft aren't accustomed to fighting. Right, Ben? I mean, that's why they went after you.
But you're good at typing. And camera and all that other cool stuff.
I am. Doing all that dorky stuff.
Technological stuff.
Next time, don't bother with that word. Just
use tech.
Technological. That was part of the joke. I was making fun of the technology.
Next time, just say tech and balls and you'll be fine. You'll be right in with Ben.
I haven't used one of those words this time.
No. Nope.
See, you're clearing your throat tonight. I ain't done it yet.
Yeah, Ben hasn't cleared his throat.
No, you're right.
And I even dropped one F-bomb.
He hasn't.
That was, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Haas.
No cursing. I don't even think I dropped one at Blizzard Bash.
Well, as loud as those motors were, none of us would have heard it anyways.
I don't know that it would have mattered anyway. I mean, some of the stories that were coming out of Blizzard Bash. I mean, the cooler was probably one of the best. Harley Conkling went around to all of his local bars, all of them, and said, "Look, I want one of your TVs for 3 days." This was a story that came out during the show, and I was trying to find more of the details on it. He messaged us after we had gotten home, and this is the Stumble Inn was another place that went the same sort of Kirby Manuel. But Harley Conkling went around to all of his local bars and said, who wants to do this with me? Not looking for money, not looking for a handout, I just want a TV. Finally, he found the cooler, and they're like, sure. So they went live on Friday, and there was like 60 people there. Mm-hmm. And the guys were like, well, thanks. And he goes, no, we're coming back tomorrow. We're going to be back. And the next night there was more people. That night there was more people, and the band started to play after Guards Heat, because it was only 49 seconds. They let them play until Jimmy Johnson came out, and then Sunday, I guess at the end of it, by the time they were done, the bar owner had given him the money for his pay-per-view, and and there was like 8 pizzas stacked up, and everybody was like, this whole That's bar awesome. Was just buzzing with Demolition Derby, and that was, I mean, that was one of the best stories that had come out of the weekend. Very I thought cool. That was really, really cool. And Phil Tevis, Sunday, you got football, you got Afternoon Derby. What do? Obviously, you take one of your big screens and hook it up to your computer and put the TVs side by side.
Yeah, that's cool.
You had pictures of that. Cool. It was,
that's awesome.
That was cool. And just the people of Facebook page. Yeah, the people of Facebook page was cool. Bobby Cousineau messaged me. Bobby couldn't go because his wife was expecting a baby. Yep. So he didn't go. But
he had pay-per-view in the hospital.
Yes.
Did he?
Ever so resourceful. Bobby scouted the birthing ward at the hospital to make sure that the TV
had an HDMI cable.
Indeed, so had, well an input. He brought his own cable.
Nice.
And I don't think that they needed it through the course of Blizzard Bash, which means he probably should have come.
Absolutely.
But that was awesome. Interesting. The people of Blizzard Bash page was so busy. The drinking class video that they played that was
very cool,
outstanding,
and cool.
And Ben Haast. Proudly on that video, signing an autograph.
Yeah, that was awesome. Sam asked me the night when we got there about dinner. If he's like, yeah, he says, you know, we're going to possibly use some footage. I mean, do you mind? I mean, he goes, you know, make sure there's no lawyer stuff or anything. I'm like, dude, whatever, just use it. You know, yeah. That's cool.
For the Power Wheels video, right?
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Yeah. It really was.
And then
was
really then cool. After that, we had Matt Hyman standing there with the cast after he got his shirt signed, and he wore that shirt proudly all weekend. So hi, Matt Hyman. Cool.
Hey, and let the record show, we signed as many autographs as Jeremy Gard.
Yes, that's true. And more than Toby Hiley, apparently. Is that true? I don't know.
If, and somebody
I don't know
that was
I don't
with
know if
Toby.
This, that statistic is correct.
Toby had Don Santel with him, too.
Yes, he did. Wasn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yep. It was a good time. With Tim and Russ Clark were there, too. It was good.
All but right. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Yeah, Lake to Lake Girls are coming up on the other side of this, guys. You don't want to miss that. I think we're in pretty good shape. Haven't gotten any crisis reports. I think our
we're on blue screen.
Our
still.
Test right now. Yeah,
it'd be awesome if we could see our show.
Our test right now. Go home and watch it. Our test right now with the 720 HD. At this point, I'm prepared to call it a success. We'll wait for the reports back. But I think that's going to do it for us. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us here. Congratulations again to Team Underdogs. Great
Very
job.
Impressive.
Great
awesome.
Job for those guys.
Very impressive.
Good awesome. Talk with all of them. And. You know,
awesome job to all the teams, really. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I think next week we're going to have Randy Maslowski and or Jeremy Ertman on. So make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you next time, guys. Thanks a lot. Thank you.